much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You're about to hear what many people consider obscene language and ideas that are offensive. They are also popular.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Woo! I'm partying like a madman and I'm 38 years old! Woo!
You guys are up next.
Oh, boy. Hey, Jared. Yeah. If Emily Chang asked me a question and it looks like I'm going to have a panic attack, then you should just jump in there.
You're going to be fine. Look at you. You've got the hair of Giovanni Ribisi and the complexion of Timothy Hutton and the eyes of Joni Mitchell. You're like a Mr. Potato Head of beautiful people.
Plus, this is a pre-tape, so if anything terrible happens, they can always edit it out. Okay, you're up.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Laser drilled holes.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
More than happy to do it.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
I am the chosen one.
This one seems to be about to quit.
When did you start doing comedy?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Because he's got such a big boner.
Roll another one.
Put your finger here. Try this.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about
Spend.
And I don't have another cent.
Woo!
Whoa! But we'll both got that joint.
World Store.
Just pass it around.
So much sausage.
And the both got that joint, my friend.
Taint Wars.
But just pass it.
And now,
what's your favorite? Excuse me.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 23rd of August.
Line drive, center field, base hit. Here comes Seager. Throw home, offline. Barry, do it again.
So what was it like, Beer Mug? We have an eyewitness to history. What was it like, the electric feeling in Dodger Stadium last night in the bottom of the ninth, all tied up, 2-2, Kiki Hernandez bobblehead night. The man himself gets up to the plate with another walk-off hit to give the Dodgers the victory.
Imagine being there in person.
And imagine bringing your kid.
Right?
Your kid gets to see it at such a young age.
And
what a great thing.
Imagine being Kiki bobblehead night. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that hit the walk-off.
Right.
You're leaving with a little Kike.
And this is a memory that your daughter, Evie, will fall in love with baseball. Like, for the rest of her life, she'll be like, my dad took me, and we were there at the end of the game when the Dodgers won, and I realized how great it was. Tell us
Let's
all
hear it
about
again.
It.
Let's hear the clip again before we hear Muggs.
Just to know what it's like, yeah.
Yes. So exciting.
Imagine yourself there with your kid.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I get chills just listening to the play-by-play.
Right?
You're sitting in the stadium with all those other fans. Incredible.
Line drive, center field, base hit. Here comes Seager. Throw home, offline. Barry, do it again.
Throw home, offline. Dodgers, do it again.
Were you like high-fiving everybody in the crowd and running up and down the aisle?
I was in the parking lot.
I'm sorry, what? You were there in the stadium? You saw the hit?
With the kid?
No. I was in the stadium, and then I was in the parking lot during all of that.
You left before the walk-off?
Like a couple innings before the walk-off,
because
Evie was tired, you had to work. Couple innings, right?
Top of the ninth inning.
So you literally left just before the Dodgers had a chance to win the game.
Stuck out the whole thing.
Look.
Top of the ninth.
What is wrong with your family?
Look.
Well, it was a blowout, though. It was like 10-1 when you left in your defense.
No
right?
way I mean, for them to catch up.
Yeah. And they couldn't come back from that.
It's not a team that's known for winning in the ninth.
Right. Who, by the way, who leaves in the bottom, in between the top and bottom of
maybe,
the night?
Maybe Muggs is just trying to live on a tradition within his family.
With a tie ball game. He doesn't like that tradition.
Mama missing will be Kurt proud Gibson. Of me. Mama will finally love me.
Look, I'm not, there's nobody more upset about this than me.
Except your daughter and her broken heart.
Let's go to line one. We've got Evie.
She knows the number here?
She does.
Yeah, that.
How?
What were you trying to avoid besides being thrilled with a walk-off?
Yeah, what were you trying to do other than avoid excitement?
With a team that you claim to have been a lifelong fanatic of, by the way. This wasn't you just dipping into a sport. This was your team your whole life. The kind of season they've had.
Let's play the clip just once more. Because the excitement.
I think that's a good idea.
Imagine excitement.
Don't do me a favor. Imagine it in the stadium, not in the parking lot. Right. Because I know that we've now established that, but I don't want our audience to feel like losers.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Line drive, center field, base hit. Here comes Seager. Throw home. Offline. Barry, do it again.
Maybe when he said they do it again, he didn't mean the Dodgers. He meant Beer Mug's family has done it again.
They did it again. They missed the most important point.
Damn the Cantros. That would be amazing.
They put you up on the Jumbotron. Look at this a-hole leaving.
They've done it again.
I really have no excuses other than...
Look, as a guy who sometimes leave early from sports because I have an early morning, you know, if it's 3-1, if it's 4-1, maybe. Mm-hmm. But if it's tied and you get up out of your seat and walk out, I don't know how you do that.
Well, they were the Dodgers.
They were down 2-0 going into the ninth. But the whole game, the Dodgers weren't seeing the Blue Jays pitcher, the starting pitcher, they weren't used to him. So they were popping up, they hit into the shift over and over and over. And, you know, I got a my three-year-old kid was there. I was trying to beat traffic.
You want to make sure she didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, was she mad that you were whistling?
Yeah, she was upset. But, I trust me, when I heard the stadium erupt...
And
then I heard Randy Newman start blasting.
Yeah, that's the best.
I was just like, no.
Evie was like, Daddy, what does that mean?
How come they're cheering? Daddy, how come you don't love me?
Why are you flooring it out of the stadium?
Yeah. Did you do what Mom did to you?
I mean, it wasn't bad enough.
Whoa.
That's bad.
Whoa. That one drew blood.
He hasn't had time for that.
It wasn't bad enough that I showed up the last out of the first inning, and they were all out of Kike Hernandez bobbleheads already. So
at least Evie has a great souvenir to remember the night she didn't see the walk off.
You're a giant loser.
Yeah, nothing worked out.
That's crazy.
Nothing.
Yeah, but it's just like, you know, she sat there all game, and she was so well behaved, and I just felt so bad. I felt selfish sitting there. It's so
look. She sat here for 14 hours or however long the game was until the ninth inning. You don't want her to see the grand like climax that's the best part of the game.
You got to the front of the line for Dodger Dogs, and they're like, we're all out.
Daddy, I'm a Giants fan now.
Oh, wow. No. Too far, Jensen. No. Too far.
Muggs, when you took Evie to see, she's three, right?
Yeah.
When you took her to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, did you watch like the first 2 hours and 20 minutes of the movie, and then right before the end, you go, come on, honey, let's get out of here. You don't want to see how it ends.
I just left her in the theater. No, guys, I have no excuse for this. I, you know, the history of my family, it hurts.
But the history of your family is the one thing, because he missed the Kurt Gibson home run. He was at that game and left early. Is the one thing that would dictate how you act as an adult at Dodger games.
But we all become our parents. That's the whole goal of life, man. You try your hardest.
Not in some ways.
You try your hardest, and you still end up repeating their mistakes.
Did Evie like the Chinese food?
We didn't even get Chinese food.
Okay. All right.
We, look.
What a terrible dad you are. That would suck to go to a game with you.
Right. Oh, guess who called me after the game, by the way?
Kike?
No.
Did you see my home run?
My mom.
Your mom.
She said, did you see it? Did you see it? And I go, Mom, I left at the beginning of the top of the ninth. No, I did not. Sorry. And she's like, how can you leave?
Oh,
I was like,
no.
No.
Oh, no.
What? I was like, are you of all people? What?
Unreal.
Guys, this is going to hurt for a long time.
Yeah.
It should.
Mm-hmm.
You're a terrible person.
It's going to hurt you. Imagine what it's going to do to your daughter in therapy.
Let's get back to the root of your problems.
My dad never, saw anything through.
We were at a baseball game.
So, it's kind of, I kind of get out of relationships quick.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go Dodgers!
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why don't you yank me, loser?
Seems extreme, but we have your tickets for the Daydream Festival, which includes The Cure, Deftones, and a bunch more.
That's next weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah.
Can't wait. You were nude in public, accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
And I put accidentally in air quotes, by the way.
No, I think it really is accidental.
That's what I meant.
I think, yeah, I don't think you're flashing or streaking or anything like that. It's just a body part popped out. It wasn't your intention, but people saw it.
Keep it 100 because it's Friday. And comedian Jonah Ray will join us.
Oh, I love Jonah so much.
That's all coming up.
Line drive, center field, base hit. Here comes Seager. Throw home, off line. They do it again.
It's hard to argue with the crowd on this one.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, though, there's no history this season of the team coming back. So how could he have predicted that?
That's right.
No
way. That's a great point.
Thank you.
All right. It is Friday, you guys.
Yeah.
Yay.
Ali is here with our first look at what's happening.
You ever go to Emeril's restaurant in New Orleans?
I did.
Me too.
Mm.
You like it?
Guy can cook.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm afraid where this story's going.
I mean,
what did we eat not knowing?
No. Okay. Nothing bad okay, about good. The restaurant, but.
It was pubes in the soup, wasn't it? Tell me.
No.
Just tell me.
Oh.
Do you have chicken finger?
Great band name, though. Pubes in the soup. Neither of you were wearing hats when you went?
No. I'm not really much of a hat guy.
Okay.
Same.
Well, Tommy Lee and his wife, Brittany Frillin, claim they were kicked out of Emeril Lagasse's restaurant when Tommy dropped an F-bomb after being asked to remove his hat.
Yes.
Apparently, they were both wearing hats when they tried to dine at Delmonico in New Orleans. The hostess asked Lee to take off his baseball cap, though Frillin was allowed to keep hers on. Here's what Brittany says. So Tommy was like, oh, what the F? And took it off and put it in his lap. And then this guy comes up to our table. We have no problem. The hat's off. Everything's cool. And he's like, excuse me. I heard you use profanity. Then Tommy responded, you know what? F you, we're leaving. And she's all, we don't want to be in some stuffy ass place where they're like, take your hat off.
When your life looks at you funny, take a fast lane.
Yesterday, Emeril responded to Tommy Lee and wrote, hey, Tommy, Delmonico Nola's dress code is getting as much attention as Popeye's chicken spicy chicken sandwich. That's all he wrote.
Not much of a bird.
Not like, hey. Huh.
Better cook than tweeter.
Sorry about that, dude. Come on back and you can cuss all you want. Like, what?
I do remember being a dress-up place.
Yeah, a place has a dress code.
Yeah.
So you kind of adhere to it. But it turns out that it was more the profanity, the F-bombs that Delmonico
in
New
Orleans.
When life throws
you a curveball, lemonade.
All right. He couldn't even order lemonade. He had to leave. So there you have it.
If you mm-hmm. mess with the bull, get back on that horse.
It's a great quote. It's not wrong at all. Guys, you know when I tell you about studies and I think this whole thing is BS.
Right.
Wait till you hear this
one. Is this a study we're not going to like?
Well, no, it's
okay,
it's.
Was there pubes in my soup?
There was. 85% chance you've had pubes in your soup. The vast majorities of Americans love pumpkin spice so much that 79% would sign a petition to make it available throughout the year. Okay, I find that believable. People like pumpkin spice if you can have it all year round.
Yeah,
which actually
before I hear that, it's also annoying when stuff is only available seasonally when it could be available year round. Like, I don't get it.
You can have pumpkin spice all year round. You just have to make it yourself.
What? Tell me more.
I'm just saying, that's not in the story, but you know that you can buy pumpkin spice coffee.
We're not all millionaires, Allie.
Okay, you're right. All right.
You just have to direct your staff to do it? I just go to the Starbucks. I don't know what you're talking
about. But here's where the study just gets dumb. So they surveyed 2,000 Americans, found out that of those who enjoy pumpkin spice treats, 41% say they'd give up carbs to get pumpkin spice coffee for life. 41% said they'd give up alcohol.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
28% said, I don't need chocolate anymore if I can have pumpkin spice all year round. 41% said they'd stand in line at the DMV once a month for the rest of their lives if it meant getting pumpkin spice coffee for life.
They could not recreate the results of this survey with any other 2,000 people on the earth.
They just could. No.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. And here's where I just
lies,
said, okay.
Lies, lies, and more lies, and lies on top of lies.
Okay. 35% of those who plan on enjoying pumpkin spice flavored say they would name their child pumpkin spice if it meant being able to have it all year long.
Nope.
None of
these people are messing around.
That's all fake news. All of it.
They're messing around.
It's got to be brought to you by pumpkin spice, right?
Probably.
Yes. Smash those pumpkins.
I mean,
who wrote it? A pumpkin spice?
That's what he just said.
Good.
Literally right before you added
that.
No, definitely the same thing.
Although, I will say one thing about pumpkin spice. I always felt bad that she was cut from the Spice Girls right before they signed that record deal. Like, it seemed like she could have been part of it. And then they were just like, can't have six. Can only have five.
Just an orange woman.
Not a person.
Yeah. Yeah. So pumpkin spice. In obscurity, she's the Pete Best of the Spice Girls. Look it up, kids.
So they were going to have a scary spice and a pumpkin spice?
That's right.
That's weird.
That's right. They're very into Halloween.
So stupid. You happy with that?
Sucks, really. It's before 6 a.m.
Okay, you're right. Good point.
It goes before you're on the air.
Yeah, less than a minute.
Point.
Got to work this stuff out off the air so it doesn't happen
right.
on the air.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, this is warm up.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some birthdays for you from the Strokes, Julian Casablancas. Kobe Bryant, what's he doing nowadays?
Well, he's got an Oscar.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Hanging around, showing up at sporting events
with
his kids.
He has a production company. Yeah. I'm sure he's working on that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And Jay Moore, happy birthday.
Hey.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
I promised when we played that Cure song a couple of minutes ago before the Black Keys that we would tell you how you could win some tickets to go see the band next weekend at the Pasadena Daydream Festival. And I think we started thinking about this because we did Homoroki earlier this week.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Omar was a total goth kid, and The Cure was his favorite band, still is his favorite band of all time. And he came in with that fishnet outfit that he was wearing.
He's told me about that for a long time, that he used to wear that, like, all the time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. A lot of nipple action.
Yeah.
When Omar was in. Mm-hmm. And he had the guy liner on, mm-hmm. and he was talking about how goth he was back in the day and how goth his friends were. And we thought, wouldn't it be fun to hear other people's stories about how goth they were? So we're having a goth off, essentially, mm-hmm. for cure tickets.
So they just call and say, I was so goth, here's what I did.
Yeah.
Here's
and
what
then
I did.
He'll be like, do you even goth, bro? And it's just going to be amazing.
I think so. So Omar will be the judge on whether you were the gothiest person on the phone.
Right.
So all you have to do is give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Now, are there any kind of rules, anything that's too goth?
Yeah, just like, don't call in and be like, I killed my parents. I'm so goth.
That's goth, though.
That's the furthest you could. We don't want to hear that.
I think that's too far.
Yeah. I mean, smeared makeup or like, you know. Black eyeliner, all good.
Drinking blood. How about drinking blood?
Sure,
we'll allow it.
How about cutters?
I mean,
that feels a little too therapy based.
Okay, all right.
So unless you've cut a band name. You know what I mean?
Interesting, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, that's a weird distinction.
It can't be a sad cut. It can only be a phantom cut.
A happy cut.
Yeah.
Okay. Cut. I like it. All right, so 1-800...
Most people who cut do it when they're happy.
That's what we know about it. 1-800-520-1067. If you, like Omar, back in the 80s, 90s, were a goth kid.
Now.
Like you were really... Maybe now, right. Mm-hmm. You were really, really into it. We want to find out how goth you were to win Cure tickets along with the Pixies and the Deftones August 31st at the Brookside at Rose Bowl. So call now. We'll put you on hold for a couple minutes after what's happening. Then we'll talk to you and give away those tickets. 1-800-520-1067. Allie, you were probably the opposite of goth, right?
I was the blondest, freckliest goth ever.
You were goth?
Oh, my God. I love me some goth.
Really?
Absolutely. But I just... You just
didn't commit.
I didn't commit. I wanted to have black hair. And my parents were like, no, you're not going to do that. And I wanted to, you know, really pale up my skin. They're like, achieved. So, yeah.
Didn't take care of that.
No, I literally looked like Skipper, the like Barbie's best friend, showing up to goth shows.
I feel like that's
like,
what you wanted.
How are you?
Black fingernail
paint,
at least?
Oh, my God, are you guys super bummed? Me too. And they're you're not.
Did you sleep in a coffin?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Oh, no. I had bats ridiculous. That would, like, dress me in the morning. They'd bring my little goth cape to me. Yeah, it was a good time.
All right. I'm very excited to find out how goth you were when we take your calls coming up after. What's happening here on this Friday?
You guys, well, it's Friday, it's first of all.
Yeah.
Incubus just put out a new song, you guys.
Thank you, Incubus.
Right? Do you want to hear how Brandon Boyd explains the song?
Sure.
To me, this song sounds like a Lamborghini and a hot pink jet ski had a wild weekend in Miami, and as a result, conceived a crime-fighting baby that wore pastel-colored blazers and only listened to David Bowie and Madness. How did two super radical but non-human objects give birth to a well-dressed biological entity, you ask? Well, listen to the new track and find out. What's going on,
Brandon?
What's
happening with Brandon?
What's happening?
Brandon's gone bye-bye.
I kind of enjoy that, but here is Incubus with their new song, Into the Summer. Okay, never again listening to Dave, because he's like, it's just like this super mellow tune. And you were here when this he song? Said that. Yes. Huh. Is that super mellow and chill to you?
Yeah, man, no. It's like James Taylor.
Like, for Incubus, that's not super mellow and chill.
Because like
they can do super mellow and chill, you guys.
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it.
I like it.
I'm going to go get it. That's a keeper right there.
Yeah, me too.
I like it too. Into the Summer. Officially. Now, in late August. But I appreciate it. We just start our summer ticket thing. Sticker.
It's true.
It's what we do.
Guys, Katrina and her friends drank each other's blood.
Okay.
All right.
We'll get to those calls in just a bit. Bean, I know that you had to be paying attention yesterday to Miley Cyrus's Twitter threads.
Well, you know I don't let anyone disparage my Miley. You know that.
I know. So Miley Cyrus and Liam are getting a divorce, and immediately the story started coming out, who cheated on who, and Miley's taken a brunt of it because people say she quickly moved on to Brody Jenner's ex-wife, blah, blah, blah. But turns out they had been separated for quite some time, so she wanted to set the record straight. And let me just go through these tweets, because some are magic. Here's how it starts. I can accept that the life I've chosen means I must live completely open and transparent with my fans who I love and for the public 100% of the time. What I cannot accept is being told I'm lying to cover up a crime I haven't committed. I have nothing to hide. Next tweet. It is no secret that I was into partying in my teens and early 20s. I've not only smoked, but advocated for weed. I've experimented with drugs. My biggest song to date is about dancing on Molly and snorting lines in a bathroom. Next tweet. I effed up and cheated in relationships when I was young. My favorite tweet. I lost a massive Walmart deal at 17 for ripping a bong.
I mean, haven't we all?
Haven't we all? That's how I saw this thread, was people were quote tweeting it and just writing same. Mm-hmm. Next one, I got kicked off Hotel Transylvania for buying Liam a penis cake for his birthday and licking it.
Now that was my favorite.
That was a good one too.
Famous soul story.
Right?
That old trope. Mm-hmm. Next one, I swung on a wrecking ball naked. There are probably more nudes of me on the internet than maybe any woman in history. But the truth is, once Liam and I reconciled, I meant it, and I was committed. There are no secrets to uncover. I've learned from every experience in my life. I'm not perfect. I don't want to be. It's boring. I've grown up in front of you, but the bottom line is, I have grown up. She then goes on a few more, and it's just like, listen, I'm leaving my previous life behind. I'm making healthy decisions. Here's my favorite line. You can say I'm a twerking, pot-smoking, foul-mouthed hillbilly, but I'm not a liar. I'm proud to say I am simply in a different place from where I was and when I was younger. And I say kudos, Miley. Who's with
me? I could have said it in fewer tweets, but yes, I agree.
I don't know if you guys feel the way I do, but I feel like she's always been kind of living outside and transparent.
Yeah, I think she's always been a free spirit and always kind of lived her life how she lived it. But if people are accusing you of cheating and you didn't, that's a good way to get to the bottom of it. And let us know that you lost a massive Walmart deal at 17 for ripping a bong.
That is the best.
And she got kicked off a movie because she licked a penis cake.
I mean, respect that as well.
Me too.
She has been famous for a really
long time. She really has been.
Absolutely.
When did Hannah Montana start? Was that like when she was
like 15
was like
years
15
ago?
Yeah. Or something? Yeah. I mean, she could have gone real bad.
No kidding.
So, congrats.
And she could have blamed all that stuff on Hannah Montana. She didn't have to take ownership as Miley
Cyrus.
That
was just the show.
Sure.
They played
two
people. Okay. Mm-hmm. Some birthdays for you. Kobe Bryant, Jay Moore, Julian Casablancas.
Wish she was having a better year, huh?
Yeah,
it's a real
poor
bummer.
Billy, man, can't get a break. Hey, guys, the Pasadena Daydream Festival is happening at the Brookside of the Rose Bowl August 31st. That's only next weekend, you guys. Our friend Homar in studio. Hey-o.
Hey.
You're going to be there. You're going to The Cure.
Oh, yeah, I am. Super excited.
We were talking about a couple of minutes ago, before we go to the calls here, that The Cure was and is your favorite band.
Absolutely.
And that you were super, super goth back in the day.
I was totally goth, man.
And we thought, what a fun way for you to get together with some of your fellow goth heads at 1-800-520-1067 to win this ticket with a game that we like to call How Goth Are You?
How goth are you? Do you wear listen to The Cure. How goth are you? Is your soul pure black? Then you're goth for sure. How goth are you?
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay.
Truly beautiful.
So it's going to be a knockout system like we do here on the phones, and you are going to be the arbiter of how goth the listener is. We'll just take them in order and start with Christina. She is on line one, joining us from Los Angeles. Hey, Christina, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're on with Omar. How goth are you?
So when I was in junior high, I had a black backpack, of course, and it said, life is a prison. Death is the only parole.
Oh,
nice.
Pretty good.
Nice.
That is pretty good.
I love it. By the way, she's not fighting against anyone yet, so she wins.
Yeah.
I mean, she's the winner so far, is what I'm trying to say.
You are the gothiest person. Congratulations.
How goth are you?
I want to hang out with Christina, by the way. Life is a prison.
Life is a prison.
That's a strong start.
Let's go to Carol in Los Angeles. Good morning, Carol.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, how goth are you?
So I used to go to all these clubs, Helter Skelter, Scream, Perversion.
Oh, yeah, I've been to all those.
Yeah, Bruce Perdue was the man. He was a club promoter back in the 90s.
But, yeah, you just go into a club doesn't explain to me how, you know, goth you were. How goth were you? What would you wear? What was your attitude? What was your mentality like? I want to get inside
cool
your
backpack?
Goth head. Yeah, did you? Was life a prison?
Oh, God, yes. I wanted to die. It was all about death and white makeup, black eyeliner and black lipstick and black clothing and going to all the clubs was so much fun, listening to all this fun goth music.
I'm going to have to go with Life's a Prison.
Life is still a prison.
Life is still a prison. Sorry, Carol.
Sorry.
How goth are you?
By the way, almost all ladies on the phone here today, which is interesting.
Let's go to Heather in Glendale. Good morning.
Hey, Heather.
Hi, guys.
What's up? How goth are you?
Hi.
Well, I was so goth that my friends and I would get all goth out. We would wear all of our black clothes, put on our white makeup, put on our crazy eyeliner, and we'd go down to the cemetery and we would, you know, lay on the stones and like take pictures in black and white.
Oh.
And
Then we'd walk around the mall with our incense and burning and, like, get kicked out of the mall.
Love that.
And, the mall.
We went to the clubs, too, but that was, like, our main, like, pastime.
They took photo shoots in cemeteries,
Omar.
Yeah,
I used to do the same thing. I used to hang out in cemeteries.
Did you really?
Oh, totally, yeah. There was this one in Riverside we used to go all the time and just drink.
Wow.
It was the goth thing to do.
I would vote for Heather, but it's not up to me. It's up to you, Omar.
You know what? You hanging out in cemeteries and taking pictures is goth.
Pretty goth.
I think you beat Life is a Prison.
Life is a prison.
Christina. We'll say goodbye to Christina. Heather is the reigning champ. Who's up next?
All right. Up next is Sabrina in Riverside. Good morning.
Katrina.
Mm-hmm. Sabrina, put Katrina on the phone. All right, we're playing for Cure tickets here today. How goth are you?
How goth are you?
Me and my friends are so goth.
How goth are you?
And boy, are my arms tired.
Look, we'd like to use that format from now on.
Okay.
We have to start with I was so goth, and then we'll... Okay, go ahead.
Me and my friends would hang out and drink like one of those like big space bags of wine, and then like we would go from that to like actually drinking each other's blood.
Wait!
Whoa! It sounded like you said you used to drink each other's blood.
Yeah.
How did you get it?
I mean, it only happened one time. One time.
That's enough.
What did you do? Just prick your fingers, or what? Or slice a vein.
We were drunk, and like my boyfriend at the time found a piece of glass on the ground, and like just
cut my arm off.
Sanitary, so good.
That's crazy,
guys. Seriously, Life is a Prison. Let her go. She's really goth.
Unbelievable.
Listen, Katrina, so far, yes, please.
Oh, so we're saying goodbye to Cemetery Heather.
Yeah, bye, Heather.
Okay, all right.
Wow. Sorry, how goth are you?
I didn't realize the competition was going to be this tough, by
cutting
the way.
Cutting yourself.
Right?
A shard of glass from the ground.
Oh, man. Love it.
All right. Did we just lose Ramon? Did you accidentally hang up on him? It looks like. Is he there? Ramon?
Hello?
Nope.
Not Ramon.
Hello?
Okay. My bad.
No.
All right.
No.
Okay. Sorry about that.
So is it Kyle then?
Kyle in Moreno Valley.
Yes,
hi.
Sir.
Hey, Kyle.
Hi,
what's
how
up?
How are you guys?
Good. You have something you want to tell us?
Yes, sir. You talk about goth. None of these guys have anything on me. I'm talking about platform, Doc Martens, skin-tight pants, very cross-revealing, cuts, tears, blood, sex, magic, you name it. I even had a voodoo doll, two voodoo dolls.
I don't like Cal's attitude. Let's move on.
How goth are you?
He was so goth.
He was so goth.
Kyle now has a new voodoo doll, Omar. Way to go.
Let's go to Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Stephanie. You have something you want to tell us?
Yes, actually. And even before I tell you how goth I am, my daughter, Octavia, loves Omar's karaoke.
Mm.
And her first concert... Yeah, her first concert was when she was still in the womb, my womb. She saw Placebo. Placebo.
Okay.
And her first actual concert when she was three was Recoil, Alan Wilder's post Depeche Mode work. So she's pretty goth herself.
That's very nice.
And so by the way, more background, please.
She can't win. She can't win the contest. Too young.
And let me just say, if you missed Omar's Omaroki from a couple of days ago when he's all decked out in his goth, you can see that on the Kevin Bean social media at Kevin Bean. All right, now what about you, Stephanie? You mentioned your daughter. Tell us about you.
Okay, so I grew up in Toronto, which is an extremely goth city due to the British influence. And I also was a figure skater because that's the Canadian national pastime.
Okay.
So I would do interpretive dances on the ice to like Bauhaus and Cure music, which, you know.
All right. Which had to be not normal at that time, I assume.
Guys, is anything less goth than figure skating?
I was just going to say the same thing.
I think Stephanie was about to say, then at the end of the routine, I would take the skate and slice my arm and drink my blood.
Is that the case?
No.
Okay. If you did not drink any blood, I'm sorry. You do not get to move on.
Katrina's like amateur.
Are you?
All right. One call left, and then Omar, we'll see if Katrina is still standing or if Tim is going to swoop it at the end and win the Cure tickets. He's in Brea, and he joins us now.
Morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning. Every morning when I woke up, I would play Bauhaus, Bela Lugosi's Dead, and light a candle. And I got in trouble because And the candle caught a poster on fire. I got in so much trouble.
Your candle caught a poster on fire.
You didn't burn the house down, or did you burn the house down?
I burnt my half my room, and my grandmother just like freaked out, and she never understood why I wore black eyeliner. Anyway,
yeah, I feel like that two generations away is probably not going to happen.
It's hard. Do love lighting a candle every morning, first thing when you get up.
I mean, if he killed his grandma, that would be way cool.
Did you kill your grandma?
That would be way cool. What poster was it?
I didn't kill my grandma.
Okay.
No.
Didn't. Okay.
What was the poster? Was it like a Depeche Mode poster or something, or what?
No, it was actually a Cure poster.
Okay.
That's a nice tie. Right.
Wow, tough choice here.
Omar, you got to decide, Katrina or Tim.
I'm going to have to go with Blood, Katrina.
Oh.
Yeah.
How about that?
Hey, Katrina.
Yes?
You are the gothiest little gothette on the phones. You're going to see the Pasadena Daydream Festival at the Brookside of the Rose Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Next weekend with Cure, Pixies, and Deftones. And your dog sounds fun, too.
Thank you, Eddie Murphy.
Later this hour, we'll tell you all about the new songs we've added on the Kevin and Bean That's My Jam playlist. And our special guest, including a live musical performance today, is going to be comedian, actor, host, podcaster, Jonah Ray. Mm-hmm. Coming up just after 8. Love Jonah.
Agreed.
Very excited about his new Weird Al tribute album.
Agreed.
How could I not be? That's all coming up. First, though, we want to talk about accidental nudity. There was a story in the news recently that I think got a little bit ugly. But Whitney Cummings, she handled it just right, came out on top. What happened, Ellie?
She took a picture, posted it to her Instagram, and realized after she posted it, a little bit of nipple in the picture, took it down, and time went by, and somebody started extorting her for it, saying,
it took a screenshot.
I've got this picture, and I will release it. And she's like, yeah, that's not really going to work for me. So she released it on her own
feed. Reposted it.
She's like, here's my nipple, everybody. Blah, blah. Then the guy started saying, no, I have all your pictures. I hacked in, basically, to your account. I've got everything from the cloud. And she's like, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I'm going to own this. Here's my stuff. And she had said, which made me laugh, something about... listen, I'm glad that camera phones weren't around when I was a kid, because all they would see would be me like in trucker hats and stuff like that. So good for her for doing that. It sucks that she even had to.
Agreed with that.
An accidental nip slip. We've all had it.
Haven't we? And by the way, I don't even know what to say about how dumb this is, that you think you can extort someone over a nipple photo. Who cares?
Right.
Who on earth cares? Especially somebody like Whitney Cummings, by the way, who's a comedian. I mean, she
makes fun of everything.
Yeah, it makes fun of everything. She deserves her privacy. Don't get me wrong. It's terrible what this guy did to her. But it's not going to hurt her feelings if somebody sees her nipple. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, she doesn't care.
Yeah, I think she immediately said, listen, I'm not famous enough for this.
Right. So I guess the topic we want to do here today is accidental nudity. You showed something that you weren't planning on. It was in public. It was in a photo. It was on the internet. Here's an example from the column that I read. You guys know the Slate column, Dear Prudence, the advice column.
Oh, sure.
This is about a woman. I'll make this short, but this is about a woman who did not try on her wedding dress until the day of the wedding.
What?
And did not realize that it did not fit well. It had a loose, deep neckline, and her nipples kept falling out throughout the wedding. She said she's mortified to know that several hundred of her nearest and dearest friends saw her half naked in a way she absolutely did not want or plan for. My parents have mentioned it since the wedding, and while normally I would feel very confident in defending choices they don't agree with, this was not my choice, and I'm very upset about it. So she wants to know, what is the advice the next time a family member mentions
my next time you're getting married, try on the dress.
Try on the dress.
Yeah, that's
right.
On you.
Very easy.
Well, there's a more complicated backstory to that about where it came from and how she got it and stuff like that. But it was an unintentional flashing. So this is kind of what we're talking about. And that's not what you want people to remember from your wedding day.
I mean, is there an accidental nudity more impressive than Lenny Kravitz?
Yeah, good point.
Now, what was his?
He was performing.
Mm-hmm. He
sort of squatted down, mm-hmm. pants ripped.
Yeah.
Dong fell out.
Yeah.
Mugs?
Back when I
nothing to say about that.
Know that Muggs would have a story.
Of course he does.
Back when I started here at K-Rock, 2006, our old buddy Smiley, you guys know Smiley.
Yep, sure.
It was his going away party at the backstage bar. We're all singing karaoke in front of probably the entire K-Rock staff when the old receptionist by the name of Jimmy C decided to pants me as we were singing karaoke.
Oh.
Well, he not only pulled down my pants, but he pulled down my boxers as well.
Hmm.
And there was Little Mug.
On purpose?
On purpose. Little Mug.
And by little, you mean tiny?
Yeah, you can't. I mean, come on now. Yeah. But yeah, there it was for everybody to see. And I turned beet faced red, and I picked up my pants immediately, and that was very.
Did you finish the song? Because that tells us if you're a baller or not.
That would have been a baller
move.
Finish
for sure. The song.
We were singing "Short, Short Men," and yes,
oh,
I finished.
No,
kidding. That's not what you want.
No, it was not good.
And by the way, 1-800-520-1067. Any stories of accidental nudity? People saw something you wish they hadn't. Am I imagining this, or was there a series of photos going around at one point of people who took pictures of things to sell online, like on Craigslist or on eBay or something like that, and didn't realize there were reflections?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tons
that
of
happens,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, but I think it now is done on purpose. Like, that's how someone gets their rocks off.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, check out this toaster. You want to buy it? Sir, all I see are balls in the reflection. I think now it's become
everybody's
kind of
so aware of it.
Absolutely.
That now it's on purpose?
Like, you take a picture of, oh, I want to get rid of this in my bathroom. Then you look to the left and there's a picture of just a naked guy in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Or you say, I hate all of you. You just want more examples?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, hey, check out these rims of this car. And then you see the reflection in the paint of the car, and you're like, that's vagina.
Go on.
And then you take a...
You're on a roll. No, I got it. I like it very much. All right, let's take one call before the break, and let's make it Tina. She is in Hawthorne, 1-800-520-1067. This is going to be line two to get us going. Morning, Tina.
Hi.
Accidental nudity.
Accidental nudity. So my friend and I, this was a long time ago, my friend and I were at Raging Waters, and we were in one of those rides. It wasn't one of the big slides. It was, they had different little pools that you would just sit in your inner tube and float from pool to pool. And I got dangerously close to this waterfall that kind of sucked me through my inner tube, and it pushed me down. And I stood up, and my friend... my male friend, who was laughing at me. I thought he was laughing at me because I got sucked into the tube and pushed through, and I was standing there laughing with him. I'm like, this was really funny.
We're having a great
and
time, aren't we?
Laughing. Yeah, it's great. And I didn't realize that my left boob had been hanging out the whole time. The waterfall pushed my bathing suit down, and my boob was just hanging out.
And it's always the left one, right, Tina?
Right?
Yeah.
What's happening?
It happened to me, too.
Wait, what?
Coming out of the water at Westward Beach, and my left boob apparently was hanging out, and I hear my friends yelling, boob! Boob! I thought they were booing the wave that knocked me, so I'm just yelling back. I'm like, I know, right? And they're like, boob! I'm like, why are they so mad about that wave? I'm fine.
Fantastic.
This literally went for like six more steps, and then I finally was like, oh, yeah.
I see what they're saying.
Yeah. And it's always the left one.
Mm. Tina, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Your stories of accidental nudity when we return on K-Rock. Just had a panic at the disco. Let's take one phone call. Let's make it Henry in Norwalk. Good morning, Henry.
Hello, how's it going? So we went over to, me and some buddies went over to Laughlin, went over to the lake and had a little bit of fun. Got back to the hotel feeling pretty good. And while the guys went to the front desk to get their room keys, since they lost them over at the lake, I was hanging out, sitting on the ice chest, waiting for them. Well, I didn't know when I was out there on the inner tube that my boxers ripped, my swim trunks ripped. And while I was waiting in the lobby, everything was out there for everybody to see.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Penis.
Yeah.
Yes. Whoever that guy was, I think the point was made. I don't think we needed to add to that. All right. So, Henry, you're an exhibitionist. We get it, man. There's nothing wrong with it. If that's how you feel, if that's your jollies, good for you.
No, that was for me, that was an embarrassing time. I felt bad because there's kids around.
Oh, and I had no idea, no security. Okay. Yeah, you got to ruin it. We were all having a great time. Yeah.
Penis.
And all of a sudden, you're a pedo.
Now I can't go 500 feet near a school.
Right. Thanks, Henry. Good job. Appreciate the call in Norwalk. 1-800-520-1067. Juan, you hang on. Also, Hannah as well. And Louie, and your calls, too, coming up after Panic at the Disco on the world-famous K-Rock. From the 818, most horrifying moment. I was standing in front of my 12th grade students teaching when my shirt button came undone, exposing my breast.
Oh, no.
No name given. The most popular teacher ever in that high school, though.
Yeah, probably.
And while we're talking about accidental nudity, I'm not remembering this wrong. Wasn't there a situation with
Jersey Shore?
No. Tara?
Yes, Tara Reid.
Tara Reid on the red carpet.
And she just stood there and she couldn't feel that it was out and just took like 5 or 6 minutes worth of photos waving. Hello, hello. People are like, pick up your top. She's like, yes, yes.
Oops. Oh, my God.
Why did she say she couldn't?
I think she had surgery.
So she didn't have any sensation.
Yeah, so she had no... I mean, and it was so weird for people. Like, how do you not feel if... Like, Allie, you would feel it in the air, right, if your breast was not covered, I would think.
I mean, yes.
Okay.
But I didn't at the beach.
That's true. Okay.
I'd like to see it.
Thank you.
All right. So we're talking about accidental nudity. It wasn't the plan, but somehow you exposed a body part weren't looking to, but that's what happened. Like Juan in Newport Beach. He's on line one to get us going in this segment.
Morning, Juan.
Hey, what's up, party people?
Accidental nudity. What happened?
So it was laundry day, and I had, you know, my laundry set up, go to the laundromat. I was there for an hour and a half, and I didn't realize that I wore the shorts with the giant hole on the left side, so everybody was able to see the old scrote for about an hour and a half.
The old scrote!
That's my favorite bar in West Hollywood. I'm always at the old scrote. Yeah.
Wow!
The worst part was after the hour and a half, it was a really, really older lady who came up to me, and she's like, excuse me, young man, we could all see your scrote up. So I was like, oh, no.
And then did another guy say,
I heart penis.
I got a few numbers that day.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Happy it
worked out well for you.
Thank you, Juan. We appreciate you. We also appreciate Hannah in Upland. She's up next, line two.
Morning, Hannah.
Good morning, guys.
You got a story that involves the old scrote?
kind of similar. So I was at Pride a couple of years ago. And, you know, people at Pride are very comfortable, so I was wearing hardly anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to the restrooms and their porta potties, not a big fan of those. And I was walking back to my friends, which were about a half a mile away because we were posting up to watch the next band come up. And I didn't realize, I was trying to go so fast in the porta potty that I didn't put my bottoms on correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like the full vagina out for everybody to see.
I love it!
And they were like, I saw their faces, like, what's going on? And they were like, oh, I can see your tampon string. And I'm like, oh, wow. So it was like time of the month and
excellent.
Everything else was on blast. So it was like, it was pretty
But
awesome.
At least it wasn't like in a schoolroom setting or something. You're at the Pride Parade.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, wow, she's a little more forthcoming than most. But she fits.
And I'm like, wow, grateful for mine, kind of.
I have it in my vagina file.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know who that is saying that, but Hannah, you keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate the call. Thank you.
You got to have the vajayjay.
You do have to have the vajayjay. That's true. 1-800-520-1067. Talking about accidental nudity. I'm hoping to get more in front of more crowds. I'm looking for more in front of people.
Oh, you want giant crowds?
Yes. I want Louie in Northridge, though, on line six, please.
Morning, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Accidental nudity. What happened?
My story happened in seventh grade. So we're at gym class right in the morning. So the gym shorts were really short back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wearing some boxers at the time, not some tidy whitey, so they weren't tight against my skin. And so when I sat on the ground, those things ride all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting down with my legs just spread out. And the girl across from me is like, hey, man, your junk's popping out of your leg.
I can see the old scrote. What's up?
Sunset over fat balls.
And you were like, you like that?
Well, from then on out, I was known as the kid with the really big junk. So, I mean, it worked out.
All right.
That works out. Louis. Good ending.
I see that humble brag.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, it was so traumatic, but it's...
if you're going to get a nickname, yeah, that's the way to get one.
Yeah.
My face was red at the time, but after that, I was known as the kid with the big junk. So, I mean, can't be embarrassed with that.
You said it twice. Yeah, it's a real brag now.
Let's do it again. Thank you, Louie. Appreciate the call.
Balls, 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 balls.
Lakewood, we welcome Jason to the show. Hey, Jason, accidental nudity. That's the topic. What's up?
I was pulling into a hotel valet parking spot, getting out of my car, picked up my gun off the floorboard in my car, got out, stuck my gun in my waistband behind me, and it pulled my shorts all the way down to my ankles. No underwear all the time.
I mean, we're sort of burying the lead here.
Yeah, it's hard to focus on your story past the part where you had a gun in your waistband.
And no underwear. There's a couple things going on.
What was happening? What?
It was like Winnie the Pooh, just shirt only.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with the gun, it sort of changes the Winnie the Pooh part.
Where were you going with the gun that day?
I was living in Florida at the time, and that's kind of the common...
That all makes sense.
That checks out.
Yep.
That tracks. Okay, no further necessary. Thank you, Jason. let's do one more. Let's make it Jessica Luckerson to line down one.
All right, Jessica, good morning.
Good morning.
Accidental nudity. What happened?
Take us home.
Okay, so I was at one of those big-time piano bars where you have, like, the dueling piano bars.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, okay, we're going to see how many bras we can get. And they divide the whole bar in half. And they're like, all right, you come on stage. And I was like, oh, yes, it's my moment. So I go on up there and I'm trying to be like all sexy and get my bra like through the side of my arm. But I'm wearing a tube top. And so all of a sudden I get it all the way off and I'm like, woo! And my tube top goes, whoop! And I'm like, full boob. Showing up.
And everybody went crazy?
Hello.
And everyone went crazy. And I turned, but you know, the back of the walls at a piano bar are all mirrors. So I like try to turn myself from the crowd, but then there's all the mirrors.
Everybody
right
still
there.
Sees.
That's funny. Entire place could still see.
There was nowhere to hide. And then the rest of the night, I was like down off stage, and the guys were like, hey, nice boobs. You want a drink? And I was like, oh, God. Mm.
This is what happens with a night.
That felt good.
I love that song. Yeah.
That felt good.
And the new Tool song is so great, and I can't wait for the album. It's been too long. Welcome back, guys.
Agreed.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Stacy says on Twitter, at Kevin and Bean, I wore a little black dress to a wedding, later found out when watching the wedding video, it was completely see-through.
Yeah. Friends and I bet family, that happens a lot.
I bet it does.
A lot, and in pictures that you're like, there's no way that's see-through, and then you're like, bad time not to wear a bra. Sure is.
Friends and family still tease me about it. Hey, our friend Jonah Ray is here, you guys. He'll be joining us right after 8 a.m. First, though, as we do every Friday at this time, Allie, you have a special edition of what's happening.
Yeah, we do something at this time every Friday. So instead of entertainment news, we talk about music that we're into because we don't get to choose the songs that are on K-Rock. We like a lot of them, but we don't get to choose them. So this is our chance to kind of show you what we've been listening to. Maybe it's something new. Maybe it's something that came across your playlist.
We're complex, you guys. Yeah. We have a lot of life. Likes.
Layers.
Yes.
Yes, we are, Kevin. So we each pick a song every week, every member of the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's our That's My Jam playlist. You can find it on our Twitter, on our Instagram, on our Facebook, at Kevin and Bean. Go ahead and click on the playlist, follow, press shuffle. You're going to have new music every single week. Kevin, you are up first.
This is the first time this has happened to me where I pick a new song, mm-hmm. and then I start doing research on the band Half Alive. The mm-hmm. song is called Still Feel, and it was put out last year, and it went to number 7 on the alternative charts,
mm-hmm.
and the video was noticed by RCA, and they signed a deal based on it.
Okay. Wow.
And they were on Jimmy Kimmel in March.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Had no idea. Brand new to me.
Wow.
Had never heard it.
Huh.
The name of the band is Half Alive, and it's Still Feel.
Floating in outer space, have I misplaced a part of my soul? Lost in the in-between, oh, so it seems I'm out of control. Floating in outer space, have I misplaced a part of my soul? Lost in the in-between, but it can't keep me asleep all alone. Cause I still feel it.
new to me.
I, sure.
I loved it.
Yeah. 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 Real good.
Their video, by the way, I'm going to post it in a second on at the Kevin Ryder, but it's fantastic. They're dancing like complete dorks.
Excellent.
I love it.
Bean, why don't you break our hearts?
Are you going to cry, Allie?
This song is incredible.
Her name is Sasha Sloan. She is based in Los Angeles via Boston, Allie, and before that, Russia.
Wow.
Her real name is Alexandra Artanova Yachenko, but she goes by Sasha Sloan, and she's been around for a little bit. This is a recent single, though, just earlier this year, and I was introduced to it by, I think, the show with the best songs on television, Euphoria. Season one had an incredible music supervisor. So many great songs. You should check out their entire playlist on Spotify. But the Sasha Sloan song that I picked that's going to make Allie cry is about when the relationship doesn't work out, but you just can't stop thinking about him or her, and you find yourself dancing with your ghost.
How do I love? How do I love again? How do I trust? How do I trust again? I stay up all night, tell myself I'm alright. Baby, you're just harder to see than most. I put the record on, wait till I hear our song. Every night I'm dancing with your ghost.
24 years old, you guys. I see a bright future for Sasha Sloan.
That's my beautiful.
It's beautiful. And it could be played in any genre, really. That could be a country song. That could be a slow R&B song. That could be alternative. Oh, I love it. And that's why my pick was Sasha Sloan.
No, that was Beans.
No, that was Beans.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. All right, Jensen, you're up.
We are on week three of the four-week rap rock review, where I point out rap rock songs that I think you've missed. I know that the genre gets made fun of a lot, but there were some really hot unsung heroes from that time, and this week, again, I'm picking one. This is Two Skinny J's. They were out of Brooklyn, New York. They were awesome. They had so many band members, but obviously Special Joe and Jay Guevara were the two vocalists, and they performed at Woodstock 99, which is like a small detail about them. But they had a ton of record label issues, and they just kind of fell apart over time. But this album, Super Mercado, came out in 1998. I still listen to it. I think it's a great album. This song is called The Better. In the morning, I storm and swarm with the morning shift. Shape and rise like a phoenix from the flames. I ran colossal, healing like fossil. Doing the impossible, raising death. I just spread the gospel of the skinny to the many. It's a J-Day. You're walking back with like a thug, just pack it like a K-Way. J's intended to be splendid when we send it. Rich and enough, then be men.
Wow, that's cool.
It's actually called The Best. Sorry. Anyway, that's Two Skinny J's, my pick.
Excellent. My band, I know you might be shocked, has a little bit of an 80s feel.
What a surprise.
Maybe there's some synthesizers involved.
No.
I'm not going to lie to you. I came across this band because I saw their picture and I was like, what? Their skin is like butter. Look at these young men. This is insanity.
That's how I pick all my music to listen to, too.
Right? I'm like, you've got great skin. Let's see what you sound like. But they are an UK indie quartet. Their name is Sundara Karma. And they've been kind of compared with everyone from Arcade Fire to U2. And they are just fun. They're from Reading in the UK. And they're a blast. And their song is called Little Smart Houses. And as the day turns over, when the evening slumber, in the half-lit squander, we'll stay inside because we're tall and dumb, kept warm in little smart houses, little smart houses.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Have I mentioned their skin?
You did. Yes. You brought that up.
It's like butter.
At length.
It's real good, you guys. Again, that's Sundara Karma, Little Smart Houses. You can find all of this on our socials at Kevin and Bean. It is called That's My Jam. It's a cool playlist. Birthdays, Kobe, you've got Julian Casablancas, and you've got another person that I can't remember.
What's going on?
I mean, I thought we were friends, but then he comes in and he starts disparaging Noel Gallagher, and I don't know how we can go on with Jonah Ray.
I mean, sides.
Those are fighting words on this show, Jonah.
I mean, what do you... I already said I don't like Sublime, and that's like saying you don't like Jesus in a church here at K-Rock.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah. We have to ask you to leave now.
Yeah, we'll allow that, but really? Liam over Noel? I mean, really?
There Liam goes over Orange County vote.
Liam over...
yeah, Liam is funnier, and his last...
Oh, song. Personality-wise, I think Liam's hysterical. Of course. And when he calls Noel a potato, nothing better.
By the way, Noel is a potato.
I mean, yeah, he really is. He really is.
Doesn't move.
But I'm talking about that last Liam album was fantastic.
I liked it.
It was fine.
Was it better than Noel's?
Yeah, because it was simpler. It was more to the point. Those those high flying birds, they just fly too high and go too far and too long.
Not even close.
I will cut you.
I will cut you. Welcome back to Your Opinion Is Wrong.
That's our whole show.
Yeah.
By the way, if you don't have a podcast called Your Opinion Is Wrong, you're not doing it right. That's a great name for a podcast. Jonah, guess who I saw on Saturday and spend a little bit of time with
Your wife,
your friend Weird Al.
Oh, that's all. Yeah, I was I went and saw him I think the week before you did.
Mm-hmm. How great is this Strings Attached tour? How fun is it?
It's really, really good. I think it's a combination of like the best of Weird Al shows, because last year's tour, which was his Indulgent Vanity tour, which he did all of his originals, no parodies, was really great and loose. It was like seeing a band that's been playing together for 30 years just kind of do an intimate show. And then now he kind of has that vibe, but with a huge orchestra attached.
Yeah.
And so... so it's. I think it was like one of his best shows for sure.
I do too. I thought it was so fun. I loved it. And you know, one of the reasons you're here today is because you got this new Weird Al tribute EP that's out right now. And I don't think I've ever heard the story of how you and Al became friends. You guys must go back a lot of years.
Yeah. I think he had heard about he saw some of my videos and was a fan of them, mm-hmm. like some of the sketches I'd done online. And then I was writing on a show and he was going to be a guest on it. He was going to do a sketch. And so everyone knew I was a huge Weird Al fan. So they put me in charge of like writing the sketch and producing it and, you know, sitting with him for when we were shooting it. And so we kind of became pals then and then just kind of stayed in touch. And
Bean's story is the opposite. Bean was just like, Al, Al, Al. Ow! It's the worst way to meet him.
Did it? Were you as I was the first few times I met Al, completely in awe and humbled by his presence? Did you have any trouble kind of accepting him as just a person? Because I'm still not there.
He thinks that he is, and I quote, the best person ever.
Yeah, he's the greatest human of all time.
I actually like Liam Yankovic a little bit better.
Because at some point, if you're working with him as you were, you have to forget that he's the Al Yankovic that you grew up loving, and you have to just say, okay, he's a colleague and a friend.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that happens a lot like in like a career, I think. It's like, you know, because I've had to do that with Joel Hodgson from Mr. Science Theater.
Right.
But like with Al, it's he thinks we met for the first time on that show I did the sketch for, but in actuality, it was when I was working at the Amoeba Records in Hollywood, and I saw him, and I told my boss, I'm like, I'm taking my 15-minute break, and I went up to him, and I was like, Mr. Yankovic, I work here, so, like, I'm cool, and I just want to say, you know, Frank's 2000 Inch TV is, like, one of my favorite songs. I put it on a mixtape. He's like, oh, thank you so much. This is my wife, Suzanne. I go, hi. And he doesn't remember that, so
I wonder why he doesn't remember that, Jonah.
Just because I blocked it out so hard.
Such a memorable story.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so where did the genius idea come to about you doing this Al tribute EP?
Well, I like playing, I don't play guitar well, but I like playing guitar and I like kind of singing along to it. But I realized if I like kind of freestyled lyrics or if I made my own lyrics, I just would end up revealing truths to myself that I didn't know.
So you wanted to stay protective.
Yes. All right. Like, it's like even when I was just by myself, I would just like sing like, it's like, I'm really sad all the time. Like, oh, no. Oh, no, I'm not.
The body's in the basement. Oh,
and so the only lyrics I really know by heart are Weird Al lyrics. So I would just sing those, and then I recorded them like for just like on Instagram. And then my friend Zach from Fiddlar was like, he's like, yeah, I have some studio time. It'd be really funny if we recorded these songs. And then so my friend.
And it's not to the same melody. It's not the same music at
all.
No,
I just did my own songs, my own, you know, structures, and then just took his lyrics and then did it. And so.
Do you feel you improved any of Al's songs?
No, not at all. Yes, totally.
Now, people may not realize that you have a long musical history. I mean, you're a punk rocker from way back.
Yeah, I started playing in bands when I was like 12 and just in Hawaii in the punk scene. And, you know, it's not really music to most people, but it's, you know, there was stuff I would play that was like literal noise. We were just like, sometimes it was just noise. Like,
sometimes that's what you need, man.
Sometimes that's it, yeah.
You know, just being loud is something that it's, you know, like a few years ago, me and my friends got a little jam pad and, you know, Cypress Park. It's just a place we can go and just make noise. And it's, I play drums a lot, so that's very therapeutic because you're hitting things.
You're banging on things, yeah.
And then, but you're also like, your creative brain is working at the same time. So you can kind of just get into a state where you're not really thinking about anything at all.
All right. So the new EP is called You Can't Call Me Al, which is a genius title, by the way.
I can't take the credit for that. My friend Chantel Claret is the one who...
it's been out for a week through Asian Man Records, and you have made some limited edition vinyl copies. But, of course, it's available digitally as well.
The
on
vinyl
YouTube.
Sold out.
Sold
out in a day.
Nice. He made 10 of them, but he sold out.
I believe it was 500,
it was,
Kevin,
I was just
by
kidding.
The way. You're going to do a record release show tomorrow night at the Hi-Hat. Tickets are only $5, available at the door. Where is the Hi-Hat, by the way?
The Hi-Hat is in Highland Park.
Okay, fantastic.
And the tickets are $5, only available at the door. And the proceeds will go to Santa de Or, which is like one of my favorite like cat rescue places in
that's fantastic.
Los Angeles.
I love
such
it. All right.
Cuck.
You got to get
not the right
not
name.
Use the right
name.
No, soy boy.
More of a soy boy.
Yeah.
Do we, Kevin, take a break and give Jonah a chance to warm up here with the mics and stuff?
Do you need time to warm up?
It's not going to get any better.
Okay, let's do it now. Do you want any reverb?
Yeah, I'll take a little bit of reverb.
Oh, no.
This is what I want is this because I want to.
He's in charge of the reverb. Look at him.
Echo,
he looks like Paul
reverb.
Oakenfold.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, he looks like Paul Oakenfold.
Look at him.
How dare you? It's Tiesto.
I've always wondered what Jonah sounds like in a toilet. So.
Yeah. I once got into in the year 2001, I got into a horrific car accident.
This is my
inner monologue. and it was to the acoustic version of Everlong by Dave
Foo
Grohl.
Fighters, yeah.
So I'm hoping that an acoustic version of one of my songs will cause even more car accidents.
Okay.
It's a lofty goal.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to shoot for here?
I don't know. Bean, you're the Weird Al fan. I could do Amish Paradise or I could do Eat It.
I like Eat It.
Was that his first?
No, it was his first.
My Bologna was first. Rocky Road.
No, My Bologna was first.
My Bologna, yeah.
Let's not argue with Bean. He knows.
Actually, it was another one rides the bus.
Okay. I love Welcome to Amish Paradise. I love Be Stupid, I Dare You To. I love Just Beat It, honestly. They're all great. Which one do you feel like playing? Which one is the emotion flowing for right now?
Let's do Just Beat It, okay. Just because it's the shortest one.
Okay.
All right.
And Jonah
it's,
Ray.
It's really emotional, so yeah.
Such a fussy young man. Don't want no Captain Crunch, don't want no Raisin Bran. Well, don't you know that other kids are starving in Japan? So eat it, just eat it. Don't want to argue, I don't want to debate. Don't want to hear about what kind of foods you ate. You won't get no dessert till you clean up your plate. So eat it, don't you tell me you're full. Just eat it, eat it. Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have a banana, have a whole bunch. It doesn't matter what you had for lunch, just eat it. Ooh.
Oh, God.
Just eat it. Ooh. Just eat it.
Thank you so much.
So many people crashed.
Yeah. So there's a lot of... I don't think I've lost you guys more listeners in such a short amount of time.
Listen, this is one of those moments where we always say, we hope someone's alarm goes off right now.
In the middle of that song, it would have been perfect.
I have these moments when I play these live where I try to do the thing where I take it really seriously.
Yeah.
That's the
right.
thing I always liked about Tenacious D so much. It's like they never winked, and right. then I try not to, and then I just fouling it up every once in a while, and then I realize the ridiculousness of it and giggle.
The EP is called You Can't Call Me Al. It's available where you get music. The record release show is going to be tomorrow night at the Hi-Hat in Highland Park.
Great opening at bands, too. We got Toys That Kill. We got Phil's Pills. We got Tim Kasher from the band Cursive. Very legendary.
I'm sorry, you're only charging $5?
Yeah.
That's not good business.
Well, you know, I'm just too much of a fan of Fugazi to really charge anymore.
Yeah. Jonah Mayer's our guest. Quick break. More with him right after this on K-Rock. Was that Lizzo selling out in a commercial right there?
For months,
Sounded like it. Yeah.
I didn't know she'd cashed in already.
When all you're right. spilling all your juice. Is that what it is?
Basically. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Windex.
our friend Jonah Ray is in the studio with us right now. We had a conversation on the show last week. Jensen, I think you brought this up because we were talking about, we had Kevin Bacon in and he mentioned he was doing the Bacon Brothers. And then we started talking about other actors who had become musicians. And, you know, we ended up talking about people like Jared Leto and people like Drake. And then yesterday you said to us, what if we flipped it?
Yeah.
What if we had a conversation about people who were well-known and successful as musicians?
Correct.
But then went into acting. Who has had the greatest career as a musician turned actor?
Right. The transition is not easy.
It's not easy at all.
As seen in Cool as Ice.
And the very first one that I said, and Jonah, I thought this might be a good topic for you to weigh in on because you are literally a former musician who has gone on to do acting, right? I mean, that's not your primary thing.
But I mean, none of it is.
You have acted, right? The very first name that I thought of, and I know that there are dozens have done it, is Courtney Love, who was obviously very well known as a musician and then got rave reviews for The People vs. Larry Flint. And I think people were shocked at how good she was.
Now, are we trying to find a number one only? Are we doing a top 10,
no,
top
we're gonna,
5?
No, we're going to try to find number one. Top but I just 3? Think it's weird that that's the first
Same.
One being thought of.
Same.
I mean,
really?
She is
Why?
Really good.
Yeah,
she
in that
was
one so movie. Great.
No, she did Man on the Moon.
Oh, yeah, okay, right.
People vs. Larry Flint, which are two, you know, great movies.
Yeah, I thought she has, still thinks she has real potential as a great actress. And then some other ones started coming to mind, like I was thinking about Bjork, who was nominated for an Oscar for her one and only movie.
She said she would never do a movie after that because the experience was so terrible.
But she was so great in that.
She's great. That's my joke about, like, it's when I'm at a party, I was like, you guys want to pump this up a notch and watch Dancer in the Dark?
By the way, if we're going for number one, don't bring up Bjork. There's no way Bjork's
number
one.
You can't be in one movie and be number one.
Right. I'm not saying she's number one. I'm just saying that was my thought process when you brought up the topic.
All right, well,
let's bring some heat.
We know Will Smith is
that's
really
mine,
high
Will
on the
Smith.
List.
Yes.
He's
got to
be in the conversation.
He's
got to
be in the conversation. So does friend of the show because he hates me, Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You have to put him up top.
Don't you?
Yeah, Boogie Nights, Three Kings, I Heart Huckabees.
Now, Jonah, let's get your opinion. How good an actor is Mark Wahlberg?
He's really good.
Yeah,
and
I think so, too.
It's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
Yeah.
What about David Bowie?
Yes.
Labyrinth, Prestige.
You got to throw him in.
Amazing. Tom Waits.
Tom Waits is Mystery Men.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone,
Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yes.
Outsiders.
Everyone right. yesterday made fun of me because I brought up Flea, but Flea's movies that he's been in are awesome. Back to the Future 2, Big Lebowski.
Suburbia.
Mm,
yeah.
He's been in great things.
Him and Anthony Kiedis were in The Getaway. What was that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Or The Chase?
That's right.
The Chase.
We were both in it. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
What about the mother effing Cube?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ice Cube, quite Cube. A career as well.
He has to, I mean, I
another
consider him
Kings
a really
guy.
Good actor, by
yeah.
the way.
We're going
Ice
with
Cube.
Ice. Let's go with Ice-T.
Ice-T is
quite
another
a TV career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it when people give him crap for playing a cop on TV.
Right. Like it somehow ruins his street cred. Yeah. So dumb.
Following him on Twitter is a delight, by
He's
the way.
Very good.
That final
okay.
level. Yeah.
Very good.
Have you followed Craig Kilborn on Instagram yet, though, Jonah?
No.
Jonah, it's life-changing. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, you probably didn't know he was still alive. He is, and he's phenomenal.
The blurred line between comedy bit and regular person has never been...
Oh, really?
Can't really tell.
Can't tell.
I know it's only one performance, so he's not in the conversation for greatest musician turn actor, but Meatloaf in Fight Club was one of
great
acting performances of all time.
Also, don't forget Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
Rocky Horror,
What about in... quite frankly, two of the greatest rom-coms of all time, both P.S. I Love You and Hope Floats. Mr. Harry Connick Jr. Jonah's looking at me like I'm crazy because you have no idea who it could
be. He's also a voice in Iron Giant, and he's very good at it.
Yeah?
Yes, very good.
He's very good.
Remember the scene in Hope Floats where Mae Whitman, she was a little girl, and she walks out to the car, and she just starts sobbing with her little suitcase because she wanted her dad to take her, and then she's like, and she's crying so hard she's almost heaving, and then you see Sandra Bullock walk down and
grab her. I forget who we're talking about. It's been too long.
It's less funny when she's seen the movie.
Guess what? That wasn't even supposed to be in the movie. Sandra Bullock was so moved and was so freaked out by how hard she was crying that she went and scooped her up. Now you can see. Yep.
Can I throw out some
May
classics?
Whitman's great on Good
Can I throw
Girls?
Some classics?
Yeah, we need
Barbara Streisand, Cher.
No.
Hold on.
No.
Barbara Streisand?
No.
That's your number one.
Really? Like,
she
yes.
She's won awards.
She has won Academy Awards, and she has been. I mean, Will Smith has been in a lot of big
Will
movies.
Smith has. Like 3 Grammys and had 2 Academy Award nominations. Yeah. So
Barbara Streisand has won Academy Awards and has been in 10 smash blockbuster movies.
What
is a
name
great
the movies
actress?
Mean?
Well, I can't name them all.
A
but
Star
I'm just
is
saying.
Born. That's one.
Oh, yes. And also I'd like to throw out Lady Gaga for one movie. Also.
Oh yeah.
I don't think you can be number one for one.
No,
movie,
you can't.
Though.
You can't.
Just can't.
You should just be mentioned.
There's probably a ton of young pop stars that we're totally forgetting that are in. Movies.
Mandy Moore.
Mandy Moore.
Great TV career. Jennifer Hudson. Selena
J-Hud,
Gomez.
Yeah.
Jennifer Hudson was in Freddy vs. Jason. She's great in that.
That's definitely what she's best known for. Cher, Frank Sinatra. Did we say Sinatra? Also an Oscar winner?
He was?
He won an Oscar for acting?
Yeah. He did, yes.
Yeah.
No, he won an Oscar for singing.
You can.
Did we say Madonna?
Madonna.
Also very good in certain movies.
In certain movies.
Most Deaf,
Hitchhiker's
Guide. Most definitely, she's played in certain movies. Yes.
Be Kind, Rewind.
Yeah, Be Kind, Rewind as well. I think
are we getting anywhere close to a number one?
Here's
though?
Where we have. Okay. I think we have.
What about Donald Glover?
Actor to musician.
He didn't start as a musician to actor.
Oh, okay. Community
He was
first.
On our other list.
Oh, shoot.
That's why people call me the white Donald Glover. Everyone started to say it. Everyone's been talking about
they
it. They tweeted about
well,
it.
I haven't heard that. That's cool.
Yes. I am the king of the white Donald Glover.
That's cool.
Yes. It says on his license plate frame. Will Smith, Mark Wahlberg, Barbara Streisand we have as competitors, I think.
Let's take Wahlberg off the list just because
we want to.
Yeah.
Because he beat up that guy.
Let's take Streisand off the list.
Well, right now we just have Will Smith. So then I'll put back on Ice Cube so that he's there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will Smith is up top of this list, guys. I don't know if we can beat it.
And what are we doing? Are we doing, you know, is it legacy? Is it, you know, like awards? Or
I think
is
overall
it the popularity?
Career. No. I think overall career.
And Will Smith.
It has to be.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay, let me remind you, though. I did bring up Cool as Ice, but he's also in the second Ninja Turtles with the Ninja Rap.
Vanilla Ice. Yeah.
That's a cameo.
Okay. I'll take that. I'll take
No,
him
no,
off
you
list.
Can get him to do it on cameo.
All right, so Will Smith is our winner.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The greatest musician turned actor is Will Smith.
Yeah.
All right. I think I'm comfortable with that.
I think it's
But
fair.
It's funny that DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince is the music that he did and then went on to acting.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, but he won 2 Grammys with that.
Yeah.
It's very fun stuff.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, Summertime's a bop.
That's true.
It is.
But that came out after he was the Fresh
correct.
Prince already started.
Yes.
Kevin that's just right. doesn't understand.
File it.
File.
Thank you, Jonah.
All right, Jonah. We cool.
I wasn't laughing with you.
You were doing the right thing.
Thank you for helping us narrow that down. Congratulations on You Can't Call Me Elle. By the way, this is only an EP. Will there be more? You have more songs?
Yeah, you know, we started making more songs to flesh out the set for the show tomorrow. So we're like, now I have a version of Yoda, Trigger Happy, and Happy Birthday, and stuff like that.
But all right.
I don't know how like how long I can keep this up. Maybe the next one I'll do. Maybe I'll do a tribute to Adam Sandler songs on the next one.
Ooh. What if Al took you on tour?
I mean,
as his opener,
that would be a dream come true.
I mean, put it out there.
Put it on the vision board?
Yeah.
All sure. Right. There you go. Mm-hmm. Have fun tomorrow night at the Hi-Hat Highland Park 8 o'clock show with all those other great bands. Again, tickets just $5. Proceeds to great charities for cats.
One drive, center field, base hit. Here comes Seager. Throw home. Offline. They do it again.
So what was it like, Beer Mug? We have an eyewitness to history. What was it like, the electric feeling in Dodger Stadium last night in the bottom of the ninth, all tied up 2-2, Kiki Hernandez bobblehead night. The man himself gets up to the plate with another walk-off hit to give the Dodgers the victory.
Imagine being there in person.
And imagine bringing your kid.
Right?
Your kid gets to see it at such a young age.
And
what a great thing.
Imagine it being Kiki bobblehead night. And he's the one that hit the walk-off.
Right.
You're leaving with a little Kike.
And this is a memory that your daughter, Evie, will fall in love with baseball. Like, for the rest of her life, she'll be like, my dad took me, and we were there at the end of the game when the Dodgers won, and I realized how great it was. Tell us
Let's hear it again. Let's hear the clip again before we hear Muggs.
Just to know what it's like, yeah.
Yes. So excited.
Imagine yourself there with your kid.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I get chills just listening to the play-by-play.
Right.
You're sitting in the stadium with all those other fans. Incredible.
Line drive, center field, base hit. Here comes Seager. Throw home, offline. They do it again.
Throw home, offline. Dodgers do it again.
Were you like high-fiving everybody in the crowd and running up and down the aisle?
I was in the parking lot.
I'm sorry. What you were there in the stadium? You saw the hit
with the kid.
No, I was in the stadium, and then I was in the parking lot during all of that.
You left before the walk off,
like a couple innings before the walk off, because
Evie
was tired. When you had to work. Couple innings, right?
Top of the ninth inning.
So you literally left just before the Dodgers had a chance to win the game.
Stuck out the whole thing.
Look.
Top of the ninth.
What is wrong with your family?
Look.
Well, it was a blowout, though. It was like 10-1 when you left in your defense.
No
right?
way I mean, for them to catch
there
up.
Was it, yeah. And they couldn't come back from that.
It's not a team that's known for winning in the ninth.
Right. Who, by the way, who leaves in the bottom, in between the top and bottom of the ninth?
Maybe Muggs is just trying to live on a tradition within his family.
With a tie ball game. He doesn't like that tradition.
Mom missing will be Kurt proud Gibson. Of me. Mom will finally love me.
Look, I'm not. There's nobody more upset about this than me.
Except your daughter and
her
broken heart.
Let's go to line one. We've got Evie.
She knows the number here?
She does.
Yeah, that.
How?
What were you trying to avoid, besides being thrilled with a walk-off?
Yeah, what were you trying to do other than avoid excitement?
With a team that you claim to have been a lifelong fanatic of, by the way. This wasn't you just dipping into a sport. This was your team your whole life. The kind of season they've had.
Let's play the clip just once more. Because the excitement.
I think that's a good idea.
Imagine excitement. Don't do me a favor. Imagine it in the stadium, not in the parking lot.
Right.
Because I know that we've now established that, but I don't want our audience to feel like losers.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Line drive, center field, base hit. Here comes Seager. Throw home. Offline. They do it again.
Maybe when he said they do it again, he didn't mean the Dodgers. He meant Beer Mug's family has done it again.
They did it again. They missed the most important point.
Damn the Cantros. That'd be amazing.
They put you up on the Jumbotron. Look at this a-hole leaving.
They've done it again.
I really have no excuses other than...
Look, as a guy who sometimes leave early from sports because I have an early morning, you know, if it's 3-1, if it's 4-1, maybe. But if it's tied and you get up out of your seat and walk out, I don't know how you do that.
Well, they were the Dodgers.
They were down 2-0 going into the ninth. But the whole game, the Dodgers weren't seeing the Blue Jays pitcher, the starting pitcher. They weren't used to him, so they were popping up. They hit into the shift over and over and over. And you know, I got a 3-year-old. My 3-year-old kid was there. I was trying to beat traffic.
And you want to make sure she didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, was she mad that you were whistling?
Yeah, she was upset. But I trust me. It when I heard the stadium erupt.
Oh,
and then I heard Randy Newman start blasting.
Yeah, that's the best.
I was just like, no.
Evie was like, Daddy, what does that mean?
How come they're cheering?
Daddy, how come you don't love me?
Why are you flooring it out of the stadium?
It wasn't bad enough that I showed up the last out of the first inning and they were all out of Kike Hernandez bobbleheads already? So that's...
I gotta tell you, at least Evie has a great souvenir to remember the night she didn't see the walk-off.
You're a giant loser.
Yeah, nothing worked
that's
out.
That's crazy.
Nothing.
Yeah, but it's just like, you know, she sat there all game, and she was so well behaved, and I just felt so bad. I felt selfish sitting there. It's so
look,
she sat here for 14 hours or however long the game was until the ninth inning.
You don't want her to see the grand like climax. That's the best part of the game.
You got to the front of the line for Dodger Dogs, and they're like, "We're all out."
Daddy, I'm a Giants fan now.
Oh, wow. No. Too far, Jensen. No. Too far.
Muggs, when you took Evie to see, she's three, right?
Yeah.
When you took her to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, did you watch like the first 2 hours and 20 minutes of the movie and then right before the end you go, "Come on, honey, let's get out of here. You don't want to see how it ends."
I just left her in the theater. No, guys, I have no excuse for this. I you know, the history of my family, it hurts.
But the history of your family is the one thing, because he missed the Kirk Gibson home run. He was at that game and left early. Is the one thing that would dictate how you act as an adult at Dodger game.
But we all become our parents. That's the whole goal of life, man. You try your hardest.
Not in some ways.
You try your hardest, and you still end up repeating their mistakes.
What a terrible dad you are. That would suck to go to a game with you.
Oh, guess who called me after the game, by the way?
Kike?
No.
Did you see my home run?
My mom.
Your mom.
She said, "Did you see it? Did you see it?" And I go, "Mom, I left at the beginning of the top of the ninth." "No, I did not. Sorry." And she's like, "How can you leave?"
I was
like,
"No, no, no."
What? I was like, "Are you of all people? What?"
Unreal.
Guys, this is going to hurt for a long time.
Yeah.
It should.
Mm-hmm.
You're a terrible person.
It's going to hurt you. Imagine what it's going to do to your daughter in therapy.
Let's get back to the root of your problems.
My dad never, like, saw anything through.
We were at a baseball game.
So it's kind of, I kind of get out of relationships quick.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
By the way, we haven't mentioned this, but the Kevin Bean singles party to Las Vegas is happening today, getting on the bus around 11 a.m.
We're leaving in an hour.
Yeah. Beer Mug, by the way, is as excited as a guy who's never been to Las Vegas before. I cannot believe how much he's ready to bust out this weekend. But I just had a quick question ahead of Allie's what's happening, and that is, Kevin, are you going to be wearing the same thing you were wearing in the photograph that I posted last night and we've just retweeted at Kevin Bean on Twitter?
You know it.
You'd be wearing the same outfit?
Yeah. Is there anything better?
It is so remarkable. I tweeted also that it looks like Kevin Ryder walked so that Billie Eilish could run. He's wearing like a huge parka jacket that's like kind of floral almost.
It's sort of, it was for snowboarding. It's
yes. Black where I got and orange that.
Checkerboard. Yes. And then
it's hideous.
And then you're wearing nondescript almost shorts. Then pants under the shorts?
I think they were sweatpants, if I remember correctly.
It's unreal.
We went to Scotland, Bean and I, and we were going to search for the Loch Ness Monster, I think.
Like you do.
And it was way too cold, and I didn't have the right clothing. Why did I buy that jacket, and why did I have it with me? Great question.
Okay.
But the sweats under the shorts were because it was just too cold, and I couldn't do it. And it's not a great picture.
Mm-hmm. Although I will say it's the only picture of you in the decade of the 90s where you're not wearing a tank top.
That's true.
Or just shorts.
It's the only one.
Yeah.
It does look like you were so committed to shorts that you were going to wear them even if you also had to wear long pants.
I don't know how to put myself in that mindset, but...
Or that you lived in the park.
I didn't make a lot of great fashion decisions, if that's what you guys are insinuating.
But I mean, this is so
exceptional.
Overboard. It's insane, Kevin.
It's exceptional. Yeah,
exceptional is what I meant. Yeah,
you are warming your hands over a fire in a trash can with a bunch of other hobos in this photo.
That's right. I think you found the shorts under a freeway.
And by the way, I'm not looking great either. Truth be told,
but you're next to me, which is the key.
Yeah, right. It's the taller than Brad Williams award. You look better than him, but that's still not good
not
for
say
you.
A lot.
No one's looking at you because holy crap, what am I doing?
Oh, it's classic. You definitely have to check it out. You're just being Kev Dog, man.
It's all you just being Kev Dog, Scottish Kev Dog.
All right. Those were good times, you guys.
Allie is here with What's Happening. And, we got to do the thing, right?
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. We do.
Let's do the thing. 1-800-520-1067. That's where you text us right now. If you're Texter 100, we play any song you want. It's a Friday tradition here on the Kevin Bean Show. We call it Keep It 100. And here are some of the songs you've chosen recently.
Those are some great songs. Mm-hmm.
They really are. Plus the Cherry Pop and Daddies. All right, so 1-800-520-1067, Texas right now. If we've got it, we'll play it for you. Coming up with Keep It 100 here on the world-famous K-Rock. Allie, you're up.
Jensen, you don't need to worry about this for about 17 years.
Okay.
But when your kids go away to college, it's a real bummer of a time for the parents.
Yeah, it just becomes quiet, right, Kevin? I mean... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Then you go home and no one's there. What a sad, sad time.
Kevin's crying.
He's tearing up.
Hey, that empty nest syndrome is for real.
Absolutely.
My mom had it for sure.
Yeah, I have a friend that just dropped her daughter off yesterday, and I'm not positive she stopped drinking.
Oh,
like
no.
her husband's like, we got to wrap this up. This is just bad. But it even happens to stars. You know that whole, like, stars, they're just like us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Angelina Jolie just dropped her oldest son off at college. You guys, Maddox. Remember when he was a baby?
Yeah. Sure. Yesterday.
He is 18 years old. And by the way, he's going to university in South Korea studying biochemistry.
Maddox, was that your backup? That was my backup.
Excellent. Wow. Yeah, he's been preparing for months. He's been studying the Korean language. He's doing pretty good, this Maddox kid. But there's video of Angelina Jolie, by the way, mother of six, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, I was just thinking, how bad is her empty nest syndrome? She's down to just five kids at home.
But when you drop off your oldest, that's sad. That's real sad. But there's video, and somebody uploaded it to Instagram, and she's just like talking to the kids, and she's like, I'm trying not to cry. Even Angelina Jolie, you guys. I'm just saying.
You're surprised that because she's a celebrity, she cares about her kids?
Yes, okay. I am. Right. No.
She seems to be really into being a mother,
No, absolutely. I'm not surprised by it. I'm just saying you don't think of them in terms of being human, which is so weird. But she's the mother of six. Okay. And she's dropping them off in South Korea. It's not like she's dropping them off at, like, CSUN.
Yeah, and I'm sure they flew Southwest like my parents did when they dropped me off at school.
Wow. Bitter party of one.
Bitter, wow. Yeah.
And like your dad dropped you off. He couldn't care less, right?
Jesus Christ. My father was there. My mom and dad moved me in, even took me to Target to get me a couch.
But they never liked you.
No. I mean, right? I paid for the couch, but...
They get you the extra long sheets?
Yeah. Okay. They did all the nice stuff for me. T-shirt sheets, even.
Wow.
Remember those?
They're so soft.
They're soft. They knew it would just be me in that bed. They said, pick whatever sheets you want. Don't worry about anyone else.
And you obliged.
Yeah, I was like, yep, they're right.
Just took a few turns this segment.
Good burn, Mom.
Any color you want, Jensen. It's just you.
Don't worry about it matching anyone else's pajamas.
All right. Oh, let's get to the Keep It 100 with some birthdays, you guys. Julian Casablancas, Kobe Bryant, and one of our favorites, Mr. Jay Moore. Happy birthday. And that's...
Good to hear. Good to hear, and that was Keep It 100. Thank you for your text. We appreciate it.
We look forward to this every Friday where you get to help us pick the music. Any K-Rock song you've ever heard, if we have it, we'll play it. We do call it Keep It 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I'm gonna keep it 100.
100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
keep it 100.
All right, we had some great
that wasn't
great,
enough.
Great choices this week. Josh from Long Beach was looking for Lady Killer by the Vandals as his Keep It 100 choice. We always enjoy hearing some Vandals. That was texter number 99. Texter 101 was Brimful of Asha by Corner Shop.
Oh, I like that song.
I do too. I know that has been requested before. It has never been for Texter 100. This time it was Craig in Orange, and I'm sorry to say not this week, so close, but we do have Texter 100 on the line, and I believe this is going to be our friend Jason. He is in Long Beach. Jason, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What do you got going on this weekend? What are your plans?
A whole lot of golf, I think. I'm golfing twice.
Oh, wow, all right. You. Look at you.
He's a white guy.
Indeed. How, out of the thousands of K-Rock songs you could choose, how did you pick the one you picked?
Well, this is my favorite Green Day song by far, and I also thought it would be hilarious to request a 9-minute song for this segment for you guys.
We really don't play songs that are over like 5 minutes for the most part, so that is funny.
Yeah, very few exceptions.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
well, we thank you, by the way. Go ahead and introduce your pick for this week's Keep It 100.
All right, this is Jesus of Suburbia by Green Day.
Trying to write your love, the Jesus of Suburbia, the Bible of, but I'm the odd one, only steady, dying out. Started popping riddle lag, now I never died for my sins. Stories I can't tell, it's the ones I got away with, and there's nothing wrong with me. This is how I'm supposed to be. Fix. Sitting on my crucifix, I live in Rome, on my private world, walk the moms and flights away. To follow love and follow dad, to alcohol and cigarettes and Mary Jane, to keep me insane, to which someone else is cocaine. And there's nothing wrong with me, this is how I'm supposed to be. Don't believe in me.
saying, are we demented or am I disturbed? The space that's in between insane and insecure.
Jason in Long Beach, think we won't play a 9-plus-minute song? Well, there you go. That's your Keep It 100, Green Day, Jesus of Suburbia. Man, I got to listen to that album now this weekend.
That album is a classic.
I
got
to go back to American Idiot. That was the fifth single from American Idiot, by the way. The fifth single from that album. Allie, when do you suppose Jesus of Suburbia was unleashed onto the unsuspecting public here on K-Rock?
Either 2004... Mm-hmm. 2005, mm-hmm. possibly 2006.
Okay.
Okay.
But you said
bigger
it was
range
the,
than usual.
It was the fifth single?
Yes, it was the fifth
but
single.
But wait, are you asking when the album came out or when
no,
the single
when the,
became
when the
famous?
Single came out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When the song became the song.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was since it was later, it was since it was the fifth single, that would take some time. So 2006.
That's your final answer.
No.
Yes. Would you like to phone a friend?
2005.
Yes, it is 2005.
Jeez.
It was, that was quite a journey. It was October 25th of 2005.
Yeah, when I thought it was later, 2005.
As a single. That was a great choice, Jason in Long Beach. Well done, son. We'll do it again next Friday for
This Day in History with Old Man Reuben.
August 23rd, 1617. The one-way street was introduced in London near the River Thames. Ah, what a confusing day. I was in charge of a food cart selling penny corn cobs to school kids. I used to depend on Putting Lane to get me there for lunch break, but imagine my confusion when I was told I couldn't use the street anymore. That's the day I decided to become Jack the Ripper. This one aired on the radio, right?
See, because Ruben is old. What?
It's a shame there's no way to recap things that happened during the week.
Yeah, people miss a ton of stuff.
It is weird that we do so many things and then no one knows what happens at the end.
I know, I barely listen.
It's Friday on the show and I'm nervous for you. So in case you missed it, here's the week in review. Omar went gothic and wore a mesh shirt. With nipples so hard, I assume they hurt. And Bean's got a bunch of website names covered. Hit him up if you love the least famous Gib brother. And Craig Kilborn posts on Instagram a lot. So give the guy a follow.
Cool, why not?
Old man Ruben had some first dates. That's why he's been single since 1938. We played Afro calls and proved people are dummies. And animal stories, other than that, probably rugby. Jonah Ray and Jillian Bell were both fun. Y'all sure are dumb when you call 911. Keep it 100 like you worked for the blast. If you missed that, download the podcast.
A lot of show, you guys. No way you can hear it all. That's why you need to stay caught up with the Kevin and Bean podcast, available at radio.com or iTunes or wherever you get yours. And we very much appreciate when we hear from the podcast listeners.
Unless they're making fun of us like a week after something happened.
And we have to relive the shame all over again. All right. I think we're about ready to call it. But first, Allie's got one more look at what's happening. And then we head to the bus for Las Vegas.
Big thank you to Dave, who saw this tweet by Noisy and immediately sent it to me. And I would like this writer, Leslie Horn, to write everything.
Okay.
Here's how this article starts. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. And before you know it, Smash Mouth's All-Star is 20 years old.
Oh.
So to celebrate the big milestone, what do? Well, they commissioned an EDM duo named Breathe Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of them. But to give the song a little remix, if you will.
A lot of times this is not good.
And according to Leslie Horn there at Noisy, she said, guess what? It slaps. And if you try to say anything different, you'll reveal yourself to be a hater of fun and also life.
Whoa.
Listen, I haven't listened to it yet. I love Leslie Horn's writing.
I'd like to just say I love this clip already.
Yeah. You're already in.
Yes,
well,
because
I feel like you're a bad person if you don't.
Right. That's what Leslie's saying.
That's what she's saying.
So, hit it.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid.
Like that.
But
that worked. What?
Is it better than this?
Somebody once told me the world was gonna roll me.
I hate the sharpest
tool in the shed.
I mean,
she was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead.
Here's the beat drop.
I will say this about the song. It's the band's first ever official remix.
Oh.
So
that's not bad. That's That's not bad.
Yeah.
I like it.
I don't hate it. Leslie,
we like it.
Kevin is not a hater of fun or life.
Are you guys able to play music on the Vegas bus?
Yes, we are.
Are you going to play the new Smash Mouth remix?
I don't know if we have time to, but I feel like we may.
Quick drive to Vegas.
You know how fast they get there. Yeah. You guys, the first ever official Smash Mouth sanctioned remix. Today's a big day.
Right?
That's all I'm saying.
I didn't know it was that big until right now.
Well, it's also a really big day for someone that shopped at the Ralph's directly across from our station.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
Directly across from K-Rock. A Super Lotto Plus ticket worth $72 million was sold.
Congratulations.
You guys, that Ralph's, by the way, is going to collect a bonus of $360,000 for selling that winning ticket. The winner has 180 days from the date of the draw to claim their prize. So I won.
And, you won?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. I was just
now you tell us.
I was just going to announce that I won.
Oh.
This stinks. because I won.
What?
What?
Okay, one of these is telling the truth. Which one is it?
I forgot to tell you guys. I won.
Oh!
Beer mug
one of these four people is telling the truth.
This is so dumb. But congratulations to whoever won $72 million freaking dollars.
That's sweet. That'd be all right.
Fabulous.
It was Rodney. Rodney won.
It was Rodney. Amazing. You guys, D23 Expo kicking off a little later today, and they're going to kick it off with the star-studded ceremony where they have a new class of honorees for the Disney Legends. Do you know what Disney Legends are?
No.
They're people who have made remarkable contributions to the Disney legacy. That could be in movies, TV, music.
And so, like James Earl Jones, for instance, for being the voice of the Lion King.
Well, funny you should mention him. He is on the list this year.
Oh.
Other honorees include Robert Downey Jr., Christina Aguilera, Bette Midler, James Earl Jones.
What did Bette Midler do for Disney?
Oh, Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah. Hocus Pocus.
You can get wow. into, wait, hold on. You can get into the Hall of Fame from just Hocus Pocus?
Sure.
Oh.
How Doesn't about Lindsay
like
Lohan?
Very high standards.
Yeah, it's not very high. I mean, Lindsay, don't get me wrong. Bette Midler's awesome. But I'm saying, like, I thought you had to have done a million things. But anyway.
How about Lindsay Lohan, for the Love Bug?
I think Parent Trap's Disney, too.
Oh, okay.
She is. She's not on the list this
not
year.
Not on the list yet.
Okay. James Earl Jones, of course. Darth Vader and Mufasa.
Yeah.
Robin Roberts, 15 years at ESPN, now on Good Morning America. Diane Sawyer, like 3 decades at ABC. Jon Favreau.
Oh, that's good. Right.
Yeah. Lion King, and then did the first 2 Iron Man films.
Jungle Book.
Jungle Book, absolutely. Choreographer and director Kenny Ortega. High School Musical.
Yeah, well worth
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Descendants franchise, Hocus Pocus. As well.
What about the guy that goes under the sea?
The under the sea guy.
The under the sea guy.
Right?
It's a great.
Is he
question.
On there?
He is
I don't
not.
Know his name, but
he is not.
Okay. I believe it was Sebastian.
Okay, Sebastian the guy.
But saving the best for last because she is such a lovely human being, and we love her so very much. Mulan, Ming-Na Wen.
Love her,
Ming-Na Wen.
And of course, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
She's on ABC.
She's the best.
Just so great. So, oh, and Hans Zimmer, too. He's pretty okay. good.
And that family that got in a fight at Disneyland last month.
They're also
being entered in.
That never happened.
Oh, right. Yep. That never happened.
Yeah. Guys, I don't want to leave on this story just because I feel like it'll put Kevin in a bad mood before.
Nothing can put me in a bad mood. I'm going to Vegas.
The greatest debate in all 10 seasons of Friends has finally been answered. Rachel's not going to be happy about it. As any Friends fan can recall, the devastating breakup between Ross and Rachel in season 3. Am I cut now?
Oh, no.
Oh, I can't believe her microphone just ran out of juice right at the end of the show.
Oh, no. Juice?
Yeah, I figure it's battery powered, right?
All right, long story short, plenty of fish. All right. Okay, got it. I'm just saying.
You get it, right?
Look it up. It has to do with them being on a break.
Shut up!
Happy birthday, Jay Moore, Kobe Bryant, Julian Casablancas, and that's what's happening.
Can you shut up forever?
Okay.
Thanks, Allie. On your drive home today, listen to Stryker and Klein's commercial free-for-all, a random act of helpfulness in the SoCal helpful Honda dealers. We're about to hop on the party bus and head to Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas for Kevin's Party Bus Singles.
Are you going
to
be live streaming and stuff?
We are not, but apparently it says here, follow the fun all weekend long on our social media at Kevin and Bean on Twitter
Someone's
and Instagram.
Live streaming. Yep.
I think your mother should do an Ask Me Anything on the bus.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Oh, yeah. That is a good idea.
I will not hide anything on the bus.
I think you'll hide something, huh?
Wait, I don't get that one.
Hide the salami.
Oh, I see. It's a sex reference.
That's, yeah.
And I brought the sandwich.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Wait, what? That's some powerful ad-libbing voice.
Wait, what am I trying to say? Hold on.
Excuse me, I'm screaming.
Roll another one.
Who steals cheese grate?
Just like the other one.
E.W. Ladbat.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I just realized I do not know this bitch.
And I need another.
Enrique? Hello?
I hit the wrong button, you guys. I had a really funny clip to play there, but I misjudged it. So.
That was on me.
I'll right. take that one.
All right.
I'm a sweaty pot.
Just like the other one.
You know what I'm saying? All right.
This one seems to be about this man.
When the cat's away, punch.
And I don't have another sin.
And I also think it wouldn't hurt you to talk to a therapist about your bathroom issues, because there's clearly something going on there.
But the whole time can't join.
Sorry, got to swallow.
Just pass it around.
I swear to God, cat!
Can I get a whoop whoop?
No.
Or just pass it on down.
You know what? I don't need this. I'm going good. Grand. Great. Fine.
And knock that radio off. I'm sick of hearing it.
Thank you, rock and rollers. I just want to say how thrilled everybody is backstage with the way you've received our show.
Oh, well, I'd like to thank the great state of California for your time.
I'm Mark Thompson. Assalamu alaikum.
I'm afraid our time is up.
Bong bong.
Yeah, that